All right. Welcome back to the Pear Pod. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for supporting the last episode with Glenn. I have to apologize for the slow output of videos, but a man's got to make money when he can, and the freelance stuff is going very well at the minute. So this week is all about recording Pear Pods, and delighted to say that today we are joined by Luke Joyce. Luke Joyce, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Sam, for having me on.
It's interesting because I usually reach out to people to do the podcast, and they go like, I'll be like, yeah, I do the PearPod, and they'll be like, oh, never heard of it. And funny enough, I reached out to your company account, and then you reached out to me being like, hey, can I come on? So it's funny how that happens. I want to know, like, how what did you see from our podcast? What was it?
I picked up on a few of your videos. It was actually the guy who does the running.
Chris, yeah.
Yeah. Get better with Chris. Yeah, I've seen Chris. His one, because I have him on Instagram. I think his stuff is deadly. Then I seen he was on this podcast. Then I was on it, and I was like, that looks cool. And yeah. I was kind of going through, and then I listened to one of them. And then I text you, and you were like, mate, I text you like two weeks ago.
I've been on about 2 weeks, mate. Take your fucking time. Like.
Yeah, and then I went back over to one, and you got that like automated response from the company being like, these messages, like, I'm on it.
Not getting back to that. Yeah. I was like, I can't do like TikTok DMs and shit. It doesn't do shit. It just gets like, I've never checked my DMs on TikTok.
I don't even have TikTok on my phone. Yeah. I haven't. Even on the Instagram, it's not me on the cleaning company posting it, so it never would have kind of got through. But yeah, it's funny how 2 weeks later I was then getting back onto you.
Like, I like this guy. This guy's got something. Yeah. So traditionally, if you haven't listened to like a full episode, I like to kind of start in the body of this could be talking about your experience as an entrepreneur, things like that. Yeah. But just quickly, like, where did you grow up? What was like your childhood like when you were growing up?
So I grew up on a farm in Dublin. Yeah, in southwest Dublin. So it's kind of Talla Mountains. Up towards, kind of on the way to Blessing, and it's kind of Dublin Wicklow border.
It's actually lovely neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's nice. It's weird. It doesn't feel like you're in Dublin at all. Like when people are there, they're like, where are we? It's Dublin 24, but they're like, that's nuts.
Luke's having a session tonight. So
we used to have a thing called
in the hills.
We actually used to have a thing called Joyce Fest, where everybody would come up and we'd be up the top of the hill and you could see over the whole of Dublin. Like people would be like, where are we? Like, and you're just,
everyone's staying the night, like, so no one can get home.
Yeah, you wouldn't get, like, it'd be very hard for you to get a taxi. So there'd be people like, they'd bring up tents and everything. So I was mad. We haven't done it in like 2 years. It was big during COVID.
And when you were growing up on the farm, was like there any like goal for yourself to be like, I'm just going to work on this for my life? Like, that was that kind of what was laid out in front of you?
For sure. It was more so, I was looking at the reason I didn't go into the farm was my dad kind of turned me off it. Like, he was like, there's not a huge amount of money in farming, not on a smaller scale. Like, he'd have kind of 50 head of cattle, which isn't 50 sounds like a lot, but it's not.
See,
like,
funny enough, I just watched Clarkson's Farm like all seasons, and now I'm looking back and like, hard work, man.
It teaches you
like, for layman's terms, you can kind of be like, where's the money and all this, you know?
And like in Clarkson's Farm, he's the shop making the money, his other stuff, like, you can't do that in Dublin. In rural Dublin, you won't get planning permission to put a chair outside, let alone get a shop. Like, so I kind of always, when I was younger, I was gonna be a farmer. And then as I got older, I was like, maybe won't be a farmer. Then I might kind of be a farmer. Then I was like, fuck that, I'm not being a farmer. So I think maybe I'd go back into it in some way. I'm still interested in forestry and stuff like that. But in terms of kind of running that sort of a farm, it's not like my dad made his money off doing other things. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't the farm. The farm was just like, he loves it. It's like a lifestyle thing, you know? Like, it's ingrained in him. It's ingrained in me as well. But so that was kind of growing up, was working on the farm. That would have been my first job, and worked there every summer and stuff. And that's kind of where I got a strong work ethic, was working on the farm.
I'm going to get into that with you about where that came from. So that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, it was just kind of, obviously farming is, there's no way, you don't work 9 to 5. It's all the time. And we used to kind of, like, we used to have sheep, so you'd be lambing sheep in the middle of the night and stuff like that. So I remember my dad doing that, and like, he used to get up in the morning to do a paper round. So like, he had like he'd get up. I think he'd get up at like 3 a.m. to do a paper round Rathfarnham and stuff. And then he'd come up, he'd run the farm. And then he used to have a chip wagon in Talla then in the evening. So he'd sell chips. So he worked like 3 different jobs, which is crazy. And then I think, I don't know when he slept, but he did. So we, that's kind of what I grew up around. So I was like, just naturally started working.
How long did it take you to recognize that like your dad was a hard worker? Because like, you know, at the start it's just normal for you, and then you start to, maybe it's not until you actually start working yourself, you go, Jesus, my dad's an animal. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It was probably when I started the business, because you think, oh, I'll just start the business and it'll just start. And you'll just be like, oh, happy days. I'm, you know, making whatever, 60 grand a year in your first year. But then it's when you actually start, you're like, the amount of shit you have to do, and like, he'd be in doing his invoice, and I'd be like, there must be a quicker way of doing that. Like, you're taking ages doing that. And then I started doing that, and I'd be 10 times as slow. So I was like, it demanded some amount of stuff, like
six drafts of an invoice. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's no name on this. Yeah. Week.
But yeah, it was probably when I started my own gig that it was like, geez, he's an absolute beast. So like even last night, I got back into him. And it was like 7 o'clock, and he was like, and he's 60 now, like, and he was like, right, just going out to feed the cattle, like, and just heads off at 7 o'clock. I've been up since like six. He just heads off then to feed the cattle, like, and not a bother on him. Just brings the dog out, like, so it's kind of, it's just, that was kind of instilled into me. And it was then when I started working, so when I started hiring people as well, then I'd be like, why isn't this person working as hard as I am? Like, I'd be getting frustrated at them because they'd be taking breaks and stuff. So it took a while to kind of tone that down as well.
And what, so like, what period of your life were you like, yeah, I'm going to, I like, number one, were you like, did you have other career aspirations before you started being like, I'm going to do something myself? Like, was there any careers you looked at being like, I'd be good at that?
Yeah, I wanted to do engineering. Because I was just really interested in it, kind of civil engineering, like roads and infrastructure and stuff like that always interested me. Like bridges, all that sort of stuff. And then I kind of realized then, do you know, is it in third year or fourth year you have to... You have to decide on
your electives or your courses you're going to do, your subjects you're going to do.
Yeah, for your leaving cert. So I remember thinking, I was like, engineering, I'll have to do physics. Yeah. And I was grand, yeah, I'll do physics. Sure, that looks interesting. Like when you read physics, it sounds interesting.
Space.
And then I did physics and Jesus, it was my only ordinary level. Like it was kind of higher and everything except for that. And then I think I dropped to, what's the one below? Foundation.
Yeah, foundation, yeah. Did drop it down.
I don't even know what to do foundation. Whatever it was, I failed it. Yeah. So like, I failed the mocks and then I failed the actual
this, this physics thing, man. Stop.
Wasn't for me at all. I just couldn't wrap. I had, whatever that brain is that does physics, it's not my brain at all. I was brutal at it.
Did you have any like leaving school? If you've obviously you've gone like down that route, you want to be an engineer and suddenly you're like, the things I'm supposed to be good at, I'm not good at. Are you having like a little bit of a, what the fuck am I going to do now? I've already committed to not doing farming and stuff. Or were you like excited about the prospect of finding something, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed because engineering was always something I really thought was something I'd be good at. And I just clearly wasn't good at it at all. Like, so I kind of was forcing it a bit. And then eventually I was like, no, I remember looking even on the CAO at engineering and I had failed physics. And I was like, I'm just not going to be good at this. So
top of the list essentials, like physics higher.
Yeah. And maths is terrible. I don't know how I did hard maths, but I did. And I kind of then started going towards the entrepreneurship because it was always entrepreneurial. Like it was just junior in school, you're told, well, we were certainly told anyway, CAO, you know, write all your things out. But I was just like,
There's 50 grand a year out there waiting for you. Just do your subjects and you'll get into like a nice safe job. Like.
So that's kind of the way I was going. That's the way I was always going was, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then it was, I wanted to be a pilot. And there was other things that I was looking at. I was like, cool, how do we do all these courses? And then I was always working on stuff outside of school. Like I was selling scrap and I was doing pallets and all this weird stuff on the farm. Yeah. And I was always really entrepreneurial. And then I was like, why don't you just do something entrepreneurial? Again, I should have just left school and went doing my own thing. But I was, your program that, you know, if you don't go to college, you're an idiot. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of the way I felt back then. I was like, if I don't go to college now, I'm just going to be an absolute waste. And I remember looking at my friends of mine, some of my best friends, and they were going to do trades. And I was like, trades,
losers.
How like
they're all making more money than all of us now.
Like literally like 100 grand a year per bloke out there, like just doing plumbing and stuff, just doing plumbing. But these lads were kind of going out and I was like, doing a trade, I fucking wish I did a trade.
I'm gonna be a physicist.
but then I'm not. Like, so then I remember looking at like people doing trades, I was, that's mad. Trades was never mentioned to us in school. Like, so I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then I was like, right, I'm going to go to college, but I'll do, like, me halfway, I'll go to college, but I'll do entrepreneurship.
In college.
So I went to Maynooth. There was only one yoke on my CEO, which was the Maynooth entrepreneurship. There's only two, at the time, there was two courses in Ireland. There was entrepreneurship in Maynooth and then in Dunleary. But I remember the one in Dunleary was real kind of artsy and was more, which probably would have been better looking back, but it was real setting up a little stall and stuff, you know. Which
good job, everyone. Bring in all your old clothes, guys. I'm going to sell them.
It was like the kind of, sorry, I went to open this four times.
Leave it open.
The Yeah, it felt like something you'd get off like the back of a cereal box or something. Do you know that sort of thing?
Okay, guys, everyone introduce themselves. Yeah. Like holding hands. And
I remember down to the open day and I was just like, this isn't really what I'm looking for. So it was all real. You're right about clothes. It was all like real artsy kind of thing, which is grand.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. So I was like, nah, that's not really what I'm after. So went to do it in Maynooth and then did 4 years of that, and it was
good social buzz.
Yeah, it's
great. I went to Tala, so yeah. We'd go down to Maynooth. A lot of people were in my course and went down.
It
there.
Was brilliant for
great
that.
Session.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Didn't get a tap done.
Yeah, but no, like
what a time.
Like people would be arriving back into lectures and they'd have the roost stamped, like still inked on them, like, and they'd be hanging sitting there. Like it was a big party college. Like like there's a bar the Students' Union, which was the pub, like I think you get points of Foster's for €2.
Is anyone here trying to improve their lives?
Like you'd have great aspirations going studying, you just fall into the pub there. Like
we'd like when you're like 3-4 years in there, you're still doing like are you still doing little bits on the side to keep yourself going?
Yeah, so that's kind of when I started doing. I got a job in Unifar in City West, which is picking and packing. Of pharmaceutical stuff, and after that job I realized I never wanted another job again. Like it was
grand.
There'd be metal detectors on the way in and out, like, so you couldn't there was nothing on the stroke, but it was it was mind-numbing stuff. Like it was like there was one yoke and it came, it was a conveyor belt and these pills would come down in front of you and one would light up, so you'd pick this one up and then another one would light up. And then you'd have to drop it in there and then it'd head off. And you're doing that for 8 hours. Like, and I had to get trained in on that, right? I was like trained in. So I had to sit.
Here's the key, guys. Yeah. The light's about to change. Now, Luke.
Yeah. I had to sit there and get trained in for 8 hours with this other guy. And I was sitting beside him. And after the first one, I was like, Grant, thanks, mate. I got it. And he was like, no, I'm training you for today. I was like, for today? I was like, I'm pretty sure. And they have robots doing mad stuff. I was like, can I not just get one of the robots to jump in on this thing?
I don't think you're gauging this light system. Yeah. I don't think you're ready. You're like, all right, man.
Oh, but it was, so after that, I kind of went back in. So that's when I started window cleaning was during college. So that was when I kind of started something that I could work my own hours. I was only like 10 contact hours a week in college, so a lot of spare time. So
it's low.
Yeah like 10 hours over 5 days.
Yeah, 1 8-hour on a Monday and two hours on a Thursday, which you'll miss.
But it was like like all the 9 a.m.s like missed everyone. Like, but and when you look at it now, like back then I was like, fucking 9 a.m. it's so early. Like,
and now alarm say like, okay, 4:30. Yeah, here we go. What was the why window cleaning? What was it that you saw? Obviously, like I was actually going to say, like, one of my favorite jobs that I had on the way up to this is I used to be a portable car valet. So I'd go around with a little app and people would hire me and I'd drive around wherever, like Tala and all those spots in between classes and just clean people's cars. And I had all the kit and I loved it, man. Yeah. I loved like the completion of feeling you get afterwards and they're like, well done, little tip, do all the bits. And like, I'm on my own, put my headphones in, do a job. And like, I still think about that job all the time. Cause I was like, it was such a flake to drive in, get a little takeaway back in. All right, another job. And like, I think about that a lot in terms of like that completion I'd get. And like, I don't take the job home with me when the job's done. I'm like, yes, good man. I don't have to think about it. Is that kind of where your head was at?
You're right. It's very satisfying. Mm. Like when you're finishing something, man, especially with the customers and stuff, it was great. I kind of, there was a few different reasons I started it. It was, I suppose one of the main things was it was really low investment needed. Mm. Like I started with very little. Like it was
mad, we have a squeegee.
Yeah. It was like €50 worth of equipment and like I borrowed the ladder and stuff. So it was next to nothing needed to start it. Cause obviously I was in college, I had a lot of money, but that was kind of what one of the attractions. The other one then was work my own hours, obviously, because it's my own gig. And then there was a kind of reliable kind of window cleaners in my area where I was. There was none. I just kept hearing stories about it. And I remember just thinking like, it's not that hard. Like watch a few YouTube videos of it. And I was like, I could definitely do that. So just like a couple of hours watching that, went out, tried my dad's place. I remember cleaning the windows, made an absolute hames of it. It took about 3 hours. Like, you just kind of gradually get
all the
quicker.
Windows are broken.
I remember cleaning them. And it was actually my dad. I said, I was like, I was absolutely delighted. I was like, this is great.
There's not like a Ronaldo moment where he kicks the first ball and they're going, Luke.
No. Yeah, no, it was the complete opposite. I did it and I was like, it's a smashing job. Like, and I kept going around, but I'd left like the top of the window all like soaking wet. Yeah, so it like dribbled down on me. Dad was like, you might want to look at them windows again. I looked around and it was stained. I'm like, so.
Looks good to me.
Yeah. But that was kind of the main attractions at the time was low income or low investment needed. Lack of kind of reliable dudes, and I could kind of work it around college really well. So
what was that first year of business like? Do you remember like that period? Were you just wrapping up college and then and doing this? Or was this your first year out of college?
So I started during college part-time.
Yeah.
So I was part-time 2017, part-time 2018, and then I was to go full-time 2019. But in 2018, I was in a bad car accident. Oh. So it kind of wrecked me back and my shoulder to have surgery and stuff. So that kind of messed my plans up. Like during college, I used the cleaning company in every assignment I did in college. Yeah. I said, like, this fucker again with this cleaning company. Like every single one, everything they were telling me to do, I was basing it on the cleaning company. So that's why I was like, this is great. I'm getting like, and we'd be doing group assignments, it'd be five of us, and we'd have to think of a business. I have it.
I know this cleaning company.
Yeah. I'd love to actually ask a few lads, because we did our thesis on the cleaning company, like all these poor lads getting like dragged along and giving me all their ideas. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Like, but that's kind of what I used it for. So, but in 2018, I had a bad back injury. So that kind of messed plans up a bit. Mm. And I had to then, 2019 was when I left college in the summer. I was supposed to go mad full time then. And that was all, but I couldn't really because I was in and out of hospital with surgeries and stuff. Mm. So I had to take on guys then. So I started to take on lads. And then kind of 2020, I suppose, was the first full time year. Towards the end, we got kind of full time. So I was kind of, It was a kind of a bit all over the shop at the start, and then kind of eventually it just got on a nice growth path. Mm. Then like, yeah.
How was it's like, I talk to a lot of my mates are actually like entrepreneurs, or the people I have on are entrepreneurs, and they'll talk about like they don't originally get into this gig, like whatever the job is, they do it to like work alone, manage their own hours. They don't necessarily get into it to manage people, hire people, be a manager, do the admin stuff. Like that's not why people get into entrepreneurship. How did you kind of feel like bringing people on and like adjusting to that role as like a manager versus like, you know, I was doing this myself part-time only a year ago and now suddenly I'm the boss of 3-4 yeah. people. Like what is that kind of transition like?
It was very difficult. It was really fucking hard to be honest, because I was really young as well. Like I was not, there's loads of people who do it, but I just at the time I was, what age are you when you leave college? Like
22.
And I was hiring guys who were like in their 50s, and I was like, like I'm telling them what to do. And I had never really had a job. I had that job nearly far, but like I never had a job where I seen a hierarchical structure or what way anything worked. I had absolutely no clue. Like, you know, if you're working in a job up until your 30s, you kind of have an idea of how things work and how you report to a boss. I had no idea.
What a manager even looks like, as like, well, how do they carry themselves? Like what are they responsible for? Exactly. And stuff like that.
Yeah. So it was very fucking difficult. Like, so I kind of was trying to train these guys in, and you're kind of like, it was okay. It wasn't too bad at the start because I was always there. Mm. So I was driving them around in the van, like, and I just sit there with me bad back, like watching them out the window. Like,
get out there, boys.
Yeah. Lashing rain.
Make me proud.
Yeah. I talked to them through the window. But then was when I kind of stepped away and stopped being there. Mm. That was another big challenge because it was just going arseways. Like it was just, I was there. I'd do a check on every job. I'd be like, just reclean that, reclean this, reclean that. You know, he'd spot stuff, and when I wasn't there, they were just
how,
like,
do you maintain the standards?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So sure. that was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. I'd never really got a complaint. I never got a proper complaint. And I remember I didn't really know how it felt. And I was like, it's just going to continue like this. Mm-hmm. And then the lads were out on their own. All of a sudden I started getting these calls and complaints. And I was like, and I'd take them, like, it was like someone's had to shoot me in the arm. Like I'd be like, Jesus, I'd be driving straight down to the house, checking it out. Like, this is a disgrace. And we got to the lads, but it'd be like a little tiny bit of bird shit left by accident or something. It's just, they didn't, and they never will care as much as I would.
No one is, exactly.
Yeah. So
no,
I was like,
gonna see that.
I was going around with a magnifying glass. Like, and that's how they were expecting. And then it's kind of how to deal with that. So it was very hard. It was very clunky is the best word to describe it. It was just like really all over the shop. It took me years to figure that out.
So a stressful period.
Yeah. Very much so.
Andy, how are you like in terms of like, I keep getting ahead in like that. You're so fucking young at this stage. Like I'm 29 and I've just had like my busiest period as an entrepreneur and I'm like, holy shit, how do people do this? So at like 21, 22, having all these complaints coming in, like I can only imagine the kind of stress that that brings.
Yeah.
How did you kind of manage that? Like, are you quite a mentally strong person to be able to like compartmentalize it, deal with it and know that like, it's all going to be fine, or does it all start to build up on you, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I mean, I'd always just keep pushing forward. I'd be very resilient and stuff, but I have a tendency to get a bit, like, you know, just it gets in on you. It's more some people are kind of taking the piss.
If people make it's because you care. Like, it's your name on it, it's your business, everything you started, 100%.
So I couldn't get my head around, like, how people would take the mick on jobs. I couldn't, so I'd have fallen out to people and stuff. And then it's kind of, it took me a while to then just get used to the fact that nobody is going to work the same as
care,
I do.
Care as much as you do.
Yeah. And it's just, that's just the reality and it always will be. So I kind of just had to come to terms with that. Even when you're getting like kind of like, it's just, it took me ages to figure that out. So then I'm just like, right, just relax a bit. Like I'm the most relaxed now that I've ever been. Yeah. And I'm the busiest and I'm like, I've so much going on, but I'm the most chill I've ever been. Like I used to like, I wouldn't sleep. There'd be days where I wouldn't eat. You just kind of, not that I'd be like, I'm not hungry. I just wouldn't even think of it.
Jeez, it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah. And you'd be like, fuck, I just haven't done that. Like I wasn't training. I wasn't doing anything. A lot of it was down to the back as well because I couldn't train. So I just fell into a kind of bit of a bad.
Like a rut almost.
Yeah. It was a bad, even though things were going really well and I looked like I was busy and getting vans on the road, like physically and everything, I was just, I kept getting sick. Like once a month, I'd be sick for like 3 or 4 days.
Run down.
Like a flu. Like, and that hasn't happened to me in ages. Like, so I used to just be really sick. And I remember just thinking I need to fucking change this. And it's only when I started to change it and focus on other things and eating right, training, stress reduction, all that sort of stuff, I'm performing better than ever. Do you know what I mean? Instead of 11 o'clock at night, I'm still trying to finish something. I'll just go to bed, wake up early and play it out in the morning. Just little
feel
kind
like,
of things.
Feel like you haven't slept. Just like, here we go.
Yeah.
Straight back into it.
Yeah.
How, there was a couple of things on your Instagram that I noticed, but one of the big ones was you hired a GM. How big a like moment was that for you to know that there's someone else that's going to deal with this shit and allow you to kind of focus on expansion of the business?
Yeah. Huge, fucking huge moment. Yeah. Like I took months to choose Igor. So I kind of went through loads of different interviews. I actually got an agency because I didn't even want to put up on Indeed because I wanted to just kind of, I needed a really good guy.
You're like, going to get all sorts of do it on Indeed.
Well, we do. Some of the stuff you get. The same guys are applying for the job since I started hiring. The same CV comes in every time of the same deals.
Just give me a chance.
But I would have rang them originally. I would have rang them originally and obviously I'm just like, nah, like you get the, you ring them like, hello, who's this type of thing?
Stephen,
like,
I've interviewed you 4 times, all right? The job's filled.
Yeah, but they're still sending it and it's just like, they haven't had a job since. I was like, if you haven't got hired since 2019, there's probably something wrong. But anyway, didn't go that route. Got a kind of agency to headhunt people. Like, so nice. Everyone who came to me had a job. They were either a GM, some of them were operations manager. Some of them were what's called a contracts manager for like big facilities management companies.
Yeah.
But like their contracts manager would be looking after a crew of 20, you know. And at the time I had a crew of, I think we'd, had we 7 or 8 vans when I got him in. So like, they, even though they're as a contract manager on maybe 30, 40 grand a year, I'm guessing before anyone starts giving out, like between 30 and 40 grand a year.
That's not what we make.
I have loads of angry texts now bastard. Tonight. Yeah. So between say 30 and 40, I think it's about that. They will be then managing twice the size of, of our team. So
yeah.
I kind of interviewed all those dudes and women. I kind of eventually settled on Igor, who had done, he was in a big facilities management company as like a kind of head of department. He was head of like grounds maintenance. So he was looking after a crew of, I think about 20 as well. Like, so, and he's in his 50s.
Tough cookie, no bullshit.
Like just key. Straight. And that's kind of what I needed. And again, there was a big adjustment period where I was still feeling like I had to control everything. Do you know what I mean? Like I had to, every little thing, like I'd be giving him something to do and I was so used to having to come back around. So I'd give him something to do on a Monday. On Wednesday, I'd be like, great, so make sure you have to do that. He'd be like, it's done. And I'd be like, what do you mean it's done? You didn't come back to me and ring me 10 times about it. Like, how'd you do it? Like, and then he'd show me it's
done.
Describe
the process to me.
Yeah, because I'd be freaking. I'd be like, how is it done? Like big things, like he'd be getting pricing for vans or looking at getting them in. And I'd be like, will you go to him and just come back to me with everything? I always had to everything had to come back to me. And then he was just kind of sorting stuff out. And I was like, this is mad. It's a mad feeling that it's just pure delegation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I hadn't felt that before because I was constantly my own fault following up and just being a control freak about everything. Yeah.
So hard on yourself. Like.
Yeah, like just every little thing. And I'd be like, and then people got used to me constantly meddling and stuff that they'd kind of just expect me to come along. So they wouldn't really finish anything because like, sure, Luke could be around
it's
to check on us
no,
anyway.
It's actually doing you no favors.
No, it was a disaster. Like, so it's only the last kind of, it's the last 6 months really that I've started to just properly delegate. And I might check up on it then. And if it's not done, we get a progress report. It's just, it's a, you know, instead of everyone pulling out of you, not that they are, it's kind of me allowing them because I'm checking in on absolutely everyone. Mm. So now I just talk to Igor once a day for an hour and that's it.
Does he maintain your standard? Does he know exactly what you're looking for in terms
absolutely,
of like,
yeah,
so you have faith that like, if Igor signs off, it's probably looking okay because he knows what I'm looking for.
100%.
So like how huge now looking back, like how can you even like exaggerate how key it is to have good staff or like being able to have good people on board?
Yeah, it's absolutely everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just huge. Like I had been going on holidays and stuff, but they weren't even holidays. I was
just working
stressed
abroad,
out of my head. Like, I was like, is this supposed to be fun? Or like, I'd be working all day. I'd be stressed out because people are ringing me. There'd be problems. People would be ringing me from the lads out on the road. They'd be like, I know you're away, but listen, this is after happening. And I'd be like,
everything's on fire. So
yeah. That's what it felt like. Yeah. And I'd be like, fucking hell. So then I was like, this is a disaster. And
so stressed.
Like I used to do traveling and I traveled Vietnam and did loads of cool stuff. And then I kind of parked all that and I wanted to get back to it. And I was like, this is not going to happen. Like, like we're on like satellite
even
phones.
Even go to London
like,
anymore. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
So then I went to Croatia in October and it was my first holiday with a kind of proper team in place looking after things. And it was fucking deadly because I could just, like, that's why I was like, Igor, I'll talk to you once a day. And he was like, why? You're on holidays. He's like, just fucking take the week off. Like, and I just couldn't.
Week off?
Yeah, it was just weird. I was lying there and I was like, what? Why haven't I stressed about something here? Like, or, and then he's even ringing him and he'd be like, yeah, no update. Like, and he'd know not to tell me things because he'd just deal with himself. Like, and that was actually going, it was only when I got home, he's like, listen, I didn't want to tell you, but like this fella, we fired this guy, this happened, that happened. You know what I mean? And it was just all handled. So it's massive. Like,
it's probably lovely, like, to have. Like there's probably a period there, like if you don't get like a really good GM on top of that shit, like there's only so long you can keep burning it at both ends before you go, lads, I can't fucking keep going.
Yeah.
So like it is, it's essential even for me, like, look, and I'm kind of at the stage now where I need to bring in a few freelancers to help me with stuff. And I've made a couple of really good contacts. I'm like, man, I'll use you forever because I can fucking rely on you. You have the same standards and stuff. So it's a, we'll have to get Igor on just to pick his brains. Like, this guy is fucking insane. I want to talk about your content strategy. The first place I saw you was your content just popping up on my feed. And I was like, fuck man, this guy is, in terms of like your style, it seems to be like, I want to give people an insight into what my life is like, what my business running is like. And it gives a very, you come across, and the reason I want to have you on the pod is you come across very like a bloke I know who lives down the road from me, who's running a business. So like you'd be walking in, like even the Tesco, like the, you're doing like a quote for it. You're kind of like, fucking hell. Look at that. Like what normal lads would be like.
Yeah.
I was like, it's inspiring for like someone like me to see someone very like me, lad we go for a pint with, running such a successful business and being able to like get these huge corporate work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was the strategy with your content? Like, do you have a guy? It looks like the quality, you have someone shooting for you.
Yeah.
So did you notice like this is going to be key to us growing the business?
Yeah, it was, I kind of, social media was something I wanted to do for a long time, but it was just brutal at it. I was one of them like people on Instagram that doesn't post for like 4 years. Do you know what I mean? And kind of just creeps on everyone else.
It's very interesting. If you look at it, I'd swear you'd been a guy like, oh no, I made YouTube videos in my room. Like, how committed you were to it.
I am absolutely brutal. Like I'd be on, what's that thing called? CapCut.
Yeah.
I could be 3 to 4 hours on one video.
That's my missus as well.
And then I'd look at it. I was like, this is absolute dog shit. Like, and I hated it. So when I started doing it, I was like, and again, this was the time that was freed up with the GM. Like, so he freed up so much time that I was like, I need to start kind of working more on the marketing and stuff. Stuff I'd been neglecting a bit because I was so busy running the business. So social media was one of them. And then I started making my own videos and they were just taking way too long.
Are you guys?
Yeah. They were just
real high.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm facing the wrong way. Like, but I knew straight away I need to get someone in here. Like, so I always thought that to get a videographer was like thousands of books, and I'd be just, you know, it was like unachievable. How could you have a video? I used to be looking at like people in the UK who I follow, and I'd be like, he's a videographer, follows him around all day. That must be like thousands. And then I realized it wasn't, and I could pay, like I kind of pay per reel, which is ideal, because then I used to be like, I'm going to get this fella out for the day.
I'm not in the film.
Yeah. And I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, well, I'm paying this fella for per hour. How much are you going to get? And then I was told, no, just pay per reel. I was like, happy days. So that was a big thing. So I was like, right, I'll just get a load of reels on. And I just would go out for the day talking absolute shite in the car and kind of going, doing different side visits. And then he'd give me the reels. I'd say, yeah, these are great. Don't really like these ones, edit, whatever. And then I have someone who posts them for me then. So I have Amy, who's great, posts them. So it's Jordan does the filming, and then Amy does the posting for me. Because again, I was supposed to be the one to post it. So, and then I just wasn't. And Jordan beyond me was like, what's the crack? You only use two of them reels. Like, and I'd be
oh shit, post them.
And I'd be like trying to schedule stuff, and I'd be like, oh, fuck this. Like, I just, because I don't even be on. Like, there's probably a post going to go up now while we're talking, and I probably have about 30 unread messages. I say to people, like, this prick has posted again and hasn't replied.
Doesn't
to me, like,
fuck.
Yeah, but I don't.
This guy's doing stories.
And it looks real cheeky. Like, so I don't actually post them, because again, I was tasked to post them, and I was just like posting them at like random times.
How do I tag people?
Yeah.
What is this tagging?
So that's it. I'm literally like an owl lad. Like, so then that was done for me, and I was like, this is great. And then we just started posting, and just the followers just started skyrocketing. Like, it's mad. Like, we're up to, I think we're like 5.5 or something. Not that it matters to me, but I just ever going, like, they're always sending me, like, look at this. Like, Amy's always sending me these little reports and all. And I was like, that's great.
Not enough.
Double it.
More sales. How big a difference would you say that made to your business? Like, have you noticed a lot more people like, hey, saw you on TikTok, looking to get some windows clean, like
loads,
stuff like that?
Yeah. Loads, yeah. Even when the lads are out quoting, like Sam is doing the sales now, and he'd just be out quoting. And like, for instance, he was in a garage, a Toyota garage, and he was quoting the showroom. And one of the lads, the salesman there, was like, clean company. He's like, oh, you see your man on rugged thing? Because I'm on the side of one of the vans. He's like, oh, no, he was like, here. And gave him his like, gave him his air code to do a quote for him. Like, so it's just that sort of stuff. Like,
it's great to see like the kind of bio or like of my business is content is currency. So that's like having a strategy. And like what I do with most of my clients is that they'll say, Sam, I want content every month, but like, I can't afford to just have you on retainer. And I'm like, come back to me, like mark down each month, like things you want to make content about or things coming up that would be good. And we'll go hour by hour for the stuff that you need to do. So like people have this idea in their head that I need to have this huge media company behind me to get this done. And you're kind of showing, get a bloke with a camera, shoot just day to day what's going on. And that's the stuff that kind of explodes. And like the kind of laid back approach you have, especially just in the car and stuff, you got like phone up here driving through, like that shit, genuinely when I watch it, I'm like, man, go on Luke. Like it's not super polished. And like you sitting at a table, like,
yeah, that's the thing.
Today's like, entrepreneurs. And you're like, do you know?
Yeah. Cause that sort of stuff does my head in as well. Do you know, there's all these like, there's all these gurus and they all seem to be around 20. They're like telling you like, you know, all these motivational things and like, you know, how, if you go out there and you do this and that, like, but like, if, I don't know, they do my head in. So that's why, like, that's why some of the videos they'd be trying to get me to do like, just stuff that I'd be like,
Forex trading.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, like, but like Jordan would be like, oh, why don't you do a video of this? I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I cringe at some of the stuff. Like even some of the videos that I put up, I'm just like, that's a bit, I just, someone, I don't, it's just because it's me I'm looking at, I'm like, that's cringy, but it's just, it's grand. I'm just trying to do a kind of, like each time we go out, we'll have a little list of stuff, but we'll maybe get two things out of the list done, and then we just riff off the rest. It's just whatever we're doing that day, like just doing, and the amount of videos that don't get posted.
Let's do a drive-through review here, very quickly. What was, so kind of in terms of as the business has grown, stuff like that, how was your kind of like, outside your life, your home life, stress management and stuff like that. Like, how do you, number one, like, do you have a weekly schedule stuff you do? Like, are you on the road a certain amount a week and then you have stuff in the office, or is every week different for you?
It kind of varies. I try to keep it as uniform as I can. I'm huge on routine. If I don't have routine, like if I don't on a Sunday plan out my week, I'll have a terrible week because I just find it hard to, you just get so busy that you don't have time to plan. Like, so on a Sunday, I'll sit down for maybe an hour and just plan out the week, you know, roughly, not like minuscule, just right this day I'm doing this, and you kind of roughly, and then each morning I'll get up early, I'll kind of go through the day and think, right, I might just adjust that a little bit. So I'm huge on routine. I have a kind of set amount of stuff every day that I want to hit, and if I don't hit it, I'll be fucking disappointed. So I kind of make sure I do, because then I'll get that nice accomplished feeling at the end of the day. Now that might happen one out of 6 days, like, but it's kind of, when it does happen, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to do this shit more. So it's kind of always chasing that. But like, I'll have, say, like for instance, I do 2 hours of sales. I'll do 2 hours of kind of deep work on the business first, like where I'm just on the business, phone is on, do not disturb. Like, I'll do that. I'll be doing 2 hours. I'll do an hour to 2 hours on property. I'll do an hour on marketing. Like, it's really set out. Once I hit all them things, I'm happy because they're all linked to kind of my long-term goals. Do you know what I mean? So like, I used to go into each day, I'd be like, great, what'll I do? Yeah. And then you're spending half the day thinking and swapping between things. Now I'm like, right, that hour of marketing is done. If I have a lot of other stuff to do, you know, I'll get to it tomorrow. I need to move on to the next task, because when I think I'll get into something and I got so deep into it, I'll spend the whole day at it. Yeah. And then I'm like, shit, I was supposed to get back to 7 other people today. Like, I'll do it. Like, for instance, we're doing our accounts. We're finishing 2023. And I'll sit down and I will, for 10 hours, not move. And I'll just fucking keep going. And it'll be like, bollocks, I'm supposed to, like, so I need to kind of, I have a yoke that goes off on Google Calendar to be like, ding, and it says, you know, 15 minutes, you have to move on to property. So I'll be like, right, grand, I'll park that. So,
yeah.
But again, I'm no expert. I'm just doing whatever kind of works for me. Other people are different. Some people want to do a full day of marketing. Next day, they'll do a full day of property.
Yeah.
That might work too. Sure. Hey, sometimes if I get a bit overrun in one thing, I might leave marketing out and I'll focus just on that. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of just adapting. But
What's your favorite kind of work to do on your business?
I love business systems.
Yeah.
I love, like, I'll sit in the office. I don't really spend much time in the office. I kind of leave them to it. But if I'll sit there and I'll just, if there's something that keeps happening that's causing a problem, I love just thinking, right, how can I, like, for instance, one this week that we're doing is Sam does sales. So he's on a kind of commission rate. And he was putting everything into an Excel. So every sale he made was going to an Excel. It's fucking slow. Like, cause then we have to check, is the job complete and were they a regular customer? And sure, he could have like thousands and thousands of work and it's so slow. So I was like, right, has to be a better way of doing this. So I just started researching. I love like looking into things. So then we found this thing called Winx Reports, which does a report linked to our CRM. So we use a CRM.
Oh, okay.
So it links across. So it knows that Sam has made a sale. It comes over to this report. So we can download at the end of each month, his report, the exact amount. And it gives loads of other data and stuff. So it's just things like that, that you're like, I just saved fucking 6 hours.
Potentially
a month.
Another hire. Like, yeah, someone going to
exactly.
Do that, you know?
So it's, and he's now 6 hours focused on. So I just, that's what I really like doing. And I love the property. Like, I've only recently moved into property and I fucking love that. It's real exciting stuff. Probably because it's new.
Yeah.
Probably get to this age where I'm like, this is fucking shit. But it's like, it's real exciting.
When everything crashes. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. What have I done?
Should have stuck to the windows.
Yeah.
A question I like to ask, like a lot of my guests, and actually in fairness, you seem incredibly self-aware, so this will be probably easy enough for you. Like, what would you say your biggest strength in business is and what's your biggest weakness in business?
My biggest strength, geez, I actually don't know. My biggest strength, I would say work ethic.
Yeah, what I would have said.
Yeah, like I'm not, as I said, I wasn't good at physics. I'm not good at maths. I'm not really good at stuff, but I was okay in school. I could have been a lot better. I was a bit of a messer, like, but I work hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get up, I work harder than anyone else. And I know that. I know I'm working, and I'm not even being cocky saying this. I know for a fact I'm working harder than any other window cleaner in Ireland. There's no way they could be working harder unless they're getting up at fucking 3 a.m. But if they are, I'll get up at 2:30. You know, like I work hard, and that's not even, is that a skill? I don't know.
It's a fucking huge, man. That, one of my questions here is all about, like, literally one of my questions was, there's kind of a notion online right now. You see a lot of older business entrepreneurs will say that like our generation has no work ethic and like where the value of a hard day's work, all those kind of things are kind of disappearing with our generation. And you're kind of disproving that theory. And I've had tons of guests on here who are like, Evan Wilde, who just had on, he's a DJ, was like, oh man, for 5 years, I worked on the sites all day, produced all night in my room. We'll get up and be like, fuck, sun's coming up. And like, oh, fuck, high viz on, go back and do it again. So I couldn't disagree with that more just because I've chatted to so many people. But like, I would say 100%, like, your like resiliency and your hard work, like work ethic is key, man.
Yeah,
key it's to huge. And you can put that into anything. As you said, like property, exact same stuff.
Yeah.
As long as you, it's probably like semi-comfortable for yourself to know, like, I know I'm a dog anyway. Mm. So like whatever comes, we'll figure it out because like the work ethic is there.
Yeah.
What would you say in terms of a weakness?
Weakness, I would say...
Apart from physics.
Yeah, the physics of window cleaning. We're
it's
really,
not a weakness.
Yeah, we're really falling behind on that. I would say, a big weakness is still delegation. Even though I'm much better than I ever was, I still struggle with delegation. Mm. And it's annoying. And I, even yesterday, I listened to a podcast that a friend of mine sent. So a friend of mine has a personal assistant, and I thought a personal assistant was just a mad idea. Like, I was like, thought you have to be a CEO of some fucking 500 million euro company. Yeah, and
Mark Zuckerberg getting fucking
And I was like, personal assistant, that's fucking mad. But like, he was explaining things that his personal assistant does. And I was like, they're all the things that I can't get fucking time to do. Yeah. Like, I'm going on holiday in April. I know I'm going on holiday. I have nothing booked. Nothing booked, and it's going to cost
me. There'll be flights.
It's going to cost me thousands, like, because I'm just saying I don't have time is just an excuse. I'm like, right, will I book a flight or will I just do this other bit of work that I kind of want to do? I just do that. So I'm looking at kind of getting a personal assistant to help me with the delegation, because it's my time is. I've very limited time, but I love working. And maybe that's why I'm not good at delegating, is I kind of enjoy jumping into stuff, but that'd be probably my biggest weakness is that.
You should look into one of my girlfriend works for a PT company, and her boss just got a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
It's like an online PA, but like obviously half the price, and like, it's almost like you give her a list of shit you need to get done, they'll do it all for you. Just an interesting one if you don't want to like fully hire someone. I was fucking blown away that's even a thing, but it makes sense.
I've seen that. Yeah, it looks cool, because you can set them up on do you ever hear of Asana?
Yeah, I'm on Asana.
Really? Yeah. I literally only downloaded it there the other day.
Yeah. Good app. Especially for you, like just being able to break down everything into tasks, essentially.
And different projects and stuff.
That's what it is. So we have a content creation one, we have one for like product development, all those things all the way through.
Cool.
So it's, you'll definitely get into that one.
Because that's what the virtual PAs use, Asana. So I started looking into it, because as you say, you just send them everything and it kind of just gets done. I think they're used to not bothering you with stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, they won't come back to you with 10 questions. They'll probably just get it done.
It's all on you. If you're, especially with Asana, if you list out exactly what you want, like, hey, I'm going to Croatia. I want to stay in a nice hotel, this many dates. I want to fly here, blah, blah, blah. As long as it's all laid out, they just refer back to the task all the time and then just comments on it. Done, done, done.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I produce another podcast called the Dangerous When Focused podcast with Sean Bryan. He owns Cut and Sew, the chain of...
I've seen that.
And we had one of the guests we just had on yesterday, who owns Heartbreak Social Club, the tattoo spot. I don't know if you know it, but he was talking a lot about how frustrating he finds the fact that in school there was no chance for him to learn about taxes, entrepreneurship, how to run a business, what VAT is, like all these kind of things. And then he talked about, like, I opened my business and then suddenly I had 10 different people at my door looking for different stuff. And there is no like manual for you to do this. Did you kind of have that when you were starting, like in terms of what the fuck is corporation tax? Like all these things you had to do, like bringing on employees, PAYE. Like, was there a moment where you were like, man, who teaches you all this shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was kind of blessed with my dad.
Yeah, he's done it.
Yeah. So I could just go back to my dad with kind of like, what's this? Like everything. And he had an answer for it. And he's
huge.
Yeah. That was massive. If I didn't have that, I don't know where the fuck I would have gone. Like it's
an intimidating thing. If you don't know that stuff and you start up, you're kind of like, where do you even start with like setting up a business, registering a business, like all these things? It can be quite, I'm not even going to bother. It's too hard, you know?
And it's something that I get questions of, like friends of mine will start a business and they'll ask me questions and I'll be like, how do you not know that? And then I'd be thinking like, how would they know that? Exactly. Like where do you, and when you Google this stuff, the fucking information is so confusing. That you're like
the tax, the revenue fucking website, you're taking
stuff
the piss.
Like that. Like it's all these like different weird things. Like even I was looking at subsistence recently, and I'm trying to figure out if the subsistence on like a traveling subsistence, and I'm reading it, and it's just like it's made to be confusing. So you need to go to an accountant.
Which makes no, like even to me, it makes no, you're de-incentivizing people to be entrepreneurs, make more money and pay you more tax as a result. So make it easier for us,
it's,
you know?
It's weird. It's an absolute disgrace in school that you're not shown that stuff.
I did business in school and we didn't talk about personal finance.
It's crazy. Mad. And for anyone watching, the best course I did, and I did 4 years of a degree in business. The best thing I did was local enterprise office. It's South Dublin, I presume everywhere does it. They do a start your own business course.
Nice.
It is fucking deadly. Mm. It's like, is it 12 weeks or 8 weeks or I don't know, it's a certain amount of weeks you go twice a week in the evening, and it was an absolute game changer because it's based on, it's specific on starting a small business in Ireland. Mm. And the guy giving it is, well, the guy who gave mine was really good, and it's like heavily subsidized. I think it was 80 quid.
It's fucking good.
But it would be thousands if you were to actually do it properly.
Go to Trinity for fucking commerce, like, you're not doing any of that shit. But like a lot of it is simple enough information to get yourself started and just like things like that. And then obviously getting a good accountant and stuff is huge.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting we brought that up. I was kind of like, there should be way more access to information on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
As a kind of wrap, man, there was a couple of final questions I had for you. Number one, What is the jackpot job for you when you're looking at it? Like, is it for cleaning specifically? Like, is it, as you said, like a car dealership, ton of windows, Tesco, the huge supermarket? Like, what kind of things do you look at being like, this is where the real money is in your specific industry?
Yeah, it's funny you're asking that because we're actually only discussing this yesterday with Sam and
House
Igor.
House of Mirrors, like.
Yeah. It's mad because we're actually thinking of it because that showroom we were doing, there's a lot of windows, but there's not, like, it's kind of just usually one bank of windows on those. So we were kind of looking at what's the big ones. Hotels are unreal because they need their windows cleaned regularly. Mm. They need to look good for customers, especially this kind of more high-end hotels. Like, we do a few high-end hotels that they need clean windows. Yeah. Like, if you're paying €1,000 a night and you're looking at manky windows, like, so they need them cleaned.
Handprints and fake tan all over. Yeah. Come on, lads.
They need them done regularly. There's always loads of them. So they'd be a big cream one for us. Like, but then we do a huge amount of just like three bed semi-D.
Yeah.
We do, like, one of the lads could do 20 of them in a day and they're grand. You're in, you're out. The side gate is left open. You mightn't even see any of your customers. Mm. It's in, out, and you make the same money doing that as you would doing a big hotel.
My ma has this guy who comes in, he's like a ghost, man. You don't even know he's in there. You're having a shower and you're like, Dave. It's like fucking nine arms coming out of him. Like, it's great. But it makes such a difference. I even thinking about it there, like, if I walked into a hotel and saw a big manky windows, I'd be like, lads, come on. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. In terms of your like plans for the future for the business, you just mentioned you were getting into property a little bit there. Is that just you diversifying yourself? Like, is the focus still growing Cleaning Co, or are you kind of looking at a number of different options?
Cleaning company is the priority, at all times. So it's kind of like I'm going into property only to kind of use, I suppose I'm using kind of profits from the cleaning company. So we're still heavily investing back in. Like, I was, for the first few years, I was reinvesting everything back in. Like, I was the lowest paid employee for a long time. Everything was going back in. I was living like a monk. It's only kind of recently that we're kind of investing the same amount, but there's kind of profits coming out. So I'm using that to go into property and kind of using a separate company. So we're keeping it separate. But I'm really, really careful not to let my attention go that way, because I could all day sit there doing property stuff. But that's why I kind of, like I was saying on my Google Calendar, it's an hour and I try to keep it to an hour, 2 hours max. That's not enough at all to be a property investor, but it's all I can kind of give it at the minute. You know what I mean? Because my priority is the cleaning company. So I suppose the big thing is getting the cleaning company nationwide. So that's kind of one thing we're doing this year. Mm. So Dublin, we're in the greater Dublin area, but there's still a lot to be capitalized in Dublin.
Yeah.
So we're kind of doing as much as we possibly can in Dublin before we go to the other kind of major cities. Mm. And then we're going to start going into other services. Mm. So the ultimate goal is to have a group, you know, like a big group that does all facilities management things. Mm. And we're, you know, we've 10 plus vans in each thing. That's the kind of the end goal, with kind of different colored vans and stuff.
The empire.
So that's the kind of the ultimate goal with that. With the property, it's to kind of to invest, but do it safely, not mad high risk stuff for that, or not over leveraging on loans.
Big money in crypto, mate. Yeah. Yeah. It's getting huge.
Everyone's pensions is gone into crypto. Yeah.
Everyone's like, look, Lord, I can make 2% or I can make 1,000% or zero. take the smaller amount, lads. I actually have a meeting about my pension tomorrow. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, my final two questions, man. Number one is, what was your toughest day in business so far? Do you remember a day that stands out?
There's been a lot.
Has there?
Yeah, there's been a lot. Like, you kind of have...
A day where you were like, man, I don't know if fucking this is for me anymore.
No, days where I was sure it wasn't for me.
That's Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. How many of those this week was there? No, not like... I haven't had one of them in a while, thank God. But some days, man, I'm just, you're fucking like trying to throw the towel in. There's been loads of them. Mm. They're getting less and less as time goes on, which is fucking deadly. But there's been a few where you're just out on your feet. You can't, like, you don't even want to talk to anyone on the phone. It's just, it's a horrible feeling, but it does go. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, you think you're in this little rut that you'll never get out of, but you always do. Do you know what I mean? You always get out of it all the time. And it's only now that I've got out of so many that I'm just like, fuck it, just put the head down, you'll get out. And then a week later, or a month later, or 6 months later, you're out, yeah. Do you know?
And then 20 minutes later, you're like...
yeah, that was a great 20 minutes.
What am I doing? And the final question I have for you, man, is actually one of them keenly interested in, because you're clearly a very motivated individual. What is it that motivates you? Like, is it, like, for me, I'm big in, love to have a really nice house that was solid. Doesn't have to be beautiful, but one that's mine that I eventually own, that, you know, me and my girlfriend can raise family and all that kind of stuff. And like that, I'm not even interested in cars. I'm, even though your fucking bus you came in is fucking sexy. But that isn't even as big for me. Like, just being able to have a solid family foundation, a place that I can call my own is like huge for me. And that's what I'm shooting at every day.
Yeah.
What is that for you? Like, what is the motivation?
Yeah, I'm not, like, even though I am motivated by obviously money and stuff, I'm not big into... Like, even it's a nice wagon I'm driving, but that's like, there's a temp box on it.
So I can go.
That's why I got it. I want to go traveling and doing the west coast of Ireland and stuff. So it's not a big bling thing.
No, but like, you're not coming in mad flashy.
I've
like
not
that,
watches.
You know?
I don't really like. Like, I'm wearing a pair of runners.
The wheel fell on
ago,
Tuesday.
Like,
will be more flashy than that.
Like, three watches each arm.
Drifting jewels. Like,
and the zip down.
Dress like a genie. Wheeler, what are you doing?
No, I'm not big into bling or flash or acting. Like, that never appealed to me, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people I see, like, my vision board at the minute is like a healthy, like a plate with loads of healthy food on it. And like, you know, me going for a run.
You can do it, Luke.
Yeah, all this kind of real nice, wholesome stuff. So I love all that shit. Like, I love, I want to go down in that yoke and just, set up on somewhere around Kerry. I want, my biggest motivator, to go back to your original question, my biggest motivator is freedom.
Yeah.
I really want freedom. Sure. I want to be able to go back. Like, I did a month in Vietnam and it was the best month of my life. Mm. I want to be able to go back and do that stuff and not be putting out fires the whole time as I'm there. And I'm kind of dipping my toe in slowly but surely with last year. This year, I'm going to do the same. Like, I'm going to do kind of Philippines and Dubai and Japan, a few mad spots this year where I'll do some cool stuff. That's what motivates me. That is the freedom to do that while still having the money to do it while my company grows.
That's what I was going
to
say. Like, I have a lot of mates traveling right now, but they don't have a thriving business at home making the money. Then it's like, we'll figure it out. Everyone needs a haircut. You know, let them go do this. I want to be a barber.
Yeah.
Look, man, thank you so much for coming on. It was fucking great.
Yeah,
that absolutely rocketed by. Like, that's, we're over
an
hour.
I can't believe that's an hour,
that's
man.
That's an
hour,
lads, if you need your fucking windows cleaned,
yeah,
and you've got like, or if you have a vacancy in a you know, physics department, either of those two things, there's a market there. Yeah. But yeah, lads, follow Luke on all the socials, man. His content is great and very like, not too full of yourself content, very approachable content. Anyone can watch and be like, you're not, you know, we're not, this isn't politics. You're making it very digestible in terms of content. And like, even the way you approach it, you're not being like, oh, guys, got a very important client meeting at 2. It's like, God, I'd leg it over here to Tesco, give it a quote out and then go get some food and then back to here. Like, it's lovely to watch and everyone will get motivated from that, lads. Yeah. Luke Joyce, everyone, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I'll see you in the next one. It's all on the hips. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Deadly.
Man, thank you so much.